Almost idea. Here we go. Someone who is cool. Someone who's cool. Colin's back, guys. Yeah. Someone who's kind of cool.
Yeah, someone who's kind of cool.
Kind of cool sometimes. Yeah. All right, so yeah, Colin.
Yes,
sir. You can feel that. Welcome back to the team today. Let's get back down to business.
How's that for cutting and editing and getting stuff in correctly? It's that rocked.
Pretty good. Pretty good, buddy.
Oh, that's that. Yeah, we'll get it better. So,
what episode are we on?
Yep.
You bring it in. Bring it in.
Yeah, we are. And congratulations. It's wonderful to be back.
Awesome, buddy. Good to have you back.
Yeah, it's...
How'd you get in?
How did I get in?
I'm asking you first this time.
Well, it's...
Mr. Nice Guy.
That makes a change. Yeah. I came in yee-haw, on the tail end of the Calgary Stampede. I've been watching some animals get abused.
Yep. Animals get abused at the Calgary Stampede. That's a terrible way to come in.
Yeah, you know what? It was horrible. It's almost like the abuse that the homeless are getting out here.
I think it's worse, it's just almost as bad. In a sense. Yeah. Just as bad.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. So how did you get in today, buddy?
With my Marshall stock and my Jackson strapped to me. I came in ready for business.
Cranking metal, today. Metal, yeah, should have just given us a lick there.
My hair is down today. Hair is down today.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Now, we've got a lot to talk about, man.
There's a lot to talk about.
A lot of things that are up, kind of up in the air, and a lot of questions that are left unanswered. Namely?
Well, we want to say to the guest, in a somber tone, in a very serious tone, in our deepest condolences go to the Brett family for the loss of Chrissy. She was a friend of ours. She was a fighter. She was a matriarch. We looked up to Chrissy. Chrissy was a warrior for human rights, and we're very sad to, have to give these condolences to you. We are beside ourselves with the fact that.
And if anyone doesn't know who Chrissy Brett was, Chrissy was kind of the lead hand behind the courthouse in Victoria in 2016, fighting and got the Johnson Building kind of opened up to. That crowd, which was...
She was also a superintendent city, right?
She was, she's not afraid to go to battle with the powers that be when she feels that they're wrong.
Without saying...
I'm really happy to say it. A tough woman on the street, and it was much... There's a change, because the women on the street are so vulnerable, but to see someone who was as tough as Chrissy was, it was good to see,
Chrissy was a pioneer.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolute pioneer. And it's going to be, I've shed many, honestly, tears over this. I mean, who was going to fill her boots? The compassion and the passion that she fought with is second to none. I mean, she is, like I say, there deserves to be a plaque made in her name or some sort of,
We've discussed that
statue.
At least a plaque or remembrance.
She's a warrior for human rights, and I think in 100 years, sometime,
yes,
they're gonna have Chrissy Brett Elementary Schools and stuff like that because
an Indigenous woman who fought
for the rights of all people
and the people
and the rights of all people, and she welcomed all people. Chrissy was awesome, and Chrissy was as much as a warrior as she was, as much as a fighter for human rights, she was also a good person, and you could she was approachable.
Right? In my dealings with her, through the podcast and whatnot, she's just been wonderful to deal with, energetic, knowledgeable,
friendly, absolutely,
very, and was always willing to take that phone call, or talk to us,
absolutely.
So it was, my remembrance of Chrissy was exactly what you just said, the warrior, the princess warrior, really, kind of,
absolutely,
you know what I mean? It,
friend, absolute
yep.
friend,
yeah,
matriarch, and I say as well as a martyr, and unfortunately,
and she should be remembered by the city who she really kind of in Victoria kicked their ass.
Well, she should be remembered by yeah. both cities, I think.
Yeah.
She was a warrior for human rights, and I think that's exactly how she should be remembered.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that anybody who's mudslinging or anything like that after this, heavy blow to the street community of both Victoria and Vancouver,
yeah.
Is just completely classless. You know what I mean? Like some of the people yeah. that have negative things to say about Chrissy, just be quiet.
Keep them to yourself.
Yeah, we don't need to hear that.
Not at a time like this.
Let's look at yeah. Chrissy's achievements, and let's look at what she did, and what she did was legendary. Honestly,
it was. You know what? There's not another woman that I know anywhere in the country that was as strong as she was when it came to the advocation of, housing first and whatnot. So and the way it all happened, unfortunately, you call me a conspiracy theorist, I'll take that title then and say something was not right about this. And we all know this from the street portion of the community, we all know that something's just not right here.
Well,
and to her family,
there's a lot
she
of questions.
Was not a user of anything no. Of anything like that. And OD is something is just a foul. That's all I can really say until I know
well,
we know more.
Thank you for saying that, Colin. And to the Brett family, we just want to wish our condolences and our deepest prayers
Absolutely.
And sympathies. Chrissy, we'll see you again when we meet again, Chrissy.
Yeah, the spirits are there. How do you move on from that? Into our topics. Because our topics are really kind of related to how Chris, thought about the housing first, but we're lacking in the housing now, Shay, and you've lived through this yourself, is when they decide that they feel that you're no longer accepted in this, housing or this shelter, what's it doing to the people? What's
well,
it doing?
Shatters you.
Kicking them out after taking them in and filling them with all the thoughts of what could be, I'm housed, I'm off the street, I'm safe, but
we talked to Clay actually, he just unfortunately had, you'll hear the interview, there's an interview with Clay and an interview.
And this is, this is a sad interview. To me, I call it sad because knowing Clay and knowing the outcome of what they and how they did it, it just,
and there's another fellow here who brings up a topic. I was talking to Clay. He just, was just mentioning something, and I went over and talked to him to, find out what he was saying. Because it must have been important. He said it about three times, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So I went over to find out.
He chose not to use his name, so respectfully, right?
Fair enough. Yeah. But all credit due to him, he actually he hits it bang on. And as there's no transparency in the system, there's no efficiency in the system either. So that's what we're going to look at as topics today. So here's an interview with Clay and mystery person one. Here, Clay. All right, brother Clay is with us back again on the tiles. What's going on, brother?
Hey, not much, Jay. Sitting outside of a tiny town here.
We are. We're sitting outside a tiny town on what is this? What is this?
Thursday.
We're sitting here. It's a Thursday. And what road is this that we're on?
We're on the corner of Green and Vancouver.
Green and Vancouver. All right.
In the boulevard.
Just on the boulevard. In the beautiful neighborhood of North Park. And we still got this homeless thing going on outside of the tiny town. What's going on here, Clay? How come you camped outside of tiny town?
Well,
what's that? Sorry, Clay. One more time, brother. I just want to make sure you're here.
Tinytown has currently 15 residents in there. Holds 25. There are 25 beds.
Right.
So why, as soon as one person is vacated, for whatever reason, unannounced to us, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Why is there not a system in place to roll the next person in and roll the next person in?
If
instead, you have people sitting out front in this boulevard, right outside those doors, treated like second-class citizens, while the people inside are hunkered down in there. 10 open beds. You don't hear this, the public doesn't hear this, but I'll guarantee you what, that they are being funded as if it is full to the 25 beds. So why isn't the public aware that there's 10 open beds and the 10 open people, or the 10 people in tents outside the boulevard are not inside there? And if not them, then whom? Where's the lineup to get in there? I don't know, but if there was a lineup and we knew of it, and it was available to us, both street people and or regular people, That's the lineup. But there is none. There's no program for it. But they're being paid as if there is. So we're outside the place now with 10 open beds, freezing our asses off. We are, you know, to the neighbors. For all intents and purposes, it does look the way it does look.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's, I'm not. Yeah.
No matter how good we are, no matter how drug free, no matter how many pro, you know, no matter how many pro this or pro that, we are essentially for we are, you know, looked upon secondarily.
Absolutely.
With these tents, again, you don't see any drugs here. You don't see any liquor. You don't see anything.
No, not at all. It's actually quite capped.
Right. Yeah. Well, people here are getting their books. They're getting their things. The community is still involved in doing their thing, and we are amongst them. Now, here's the thing. There's 10 open beds behind us. Why are we freezing out here?
What's your name, Blair?
I don't want to say.
Okay. I'm talking to a gentleman here who's, you know, he's camped under a tree right now. He's on, like he says, the boulevard. And, you know, backpack under head, you know, and he's trying to get some rest here. And, yeah, kicking knowledge, honestly. That why isn't there? So what you're saying is that, now, is the people at the 10 open beds, are they in disciplinary action right now, or are they kicked out in the street again?
No, so what I can't see, that's the thing, is we don't know,
right.
But who is to know? Shouldn't there be a mainstay person, a hub person, that knows those answers, 3, 2, 1, that is their job, right?
See, in a fair system, in the system that they kind of seem to want us to live in and to cooperate in,
yes.
that list...
should be readily available.
Should it be readily available, and it should be completely transparent who's up and up on that list next.
Correct.
So people can make plans and people can, you know, do things. I know at the same time, having the 10 open beds because they're kicking people out, and they're the revolving door of the disciplinary program that they pull and the result of people's deaths, right, are not something that, you know, there needs to be more housing, more spaces made available. There's a lot of spaces available that they don't want to fund, right?
I mean, correct. But now my answer to that is, now those 10 beds, whether disciplinary or otherwise, they're being funded for by the government as if they are full at all times. So if you recall, this number on the side of the building, it would say, we are currently at capacity. We're running full at capacity and then some.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, there's 10 open beds.
Yep.
The government is paying them as though those 10 beds are full at all times.
You're right.
Now, I'm out
it's
here.
It's another scam that's going on. I mean, that's absolutely exposed.
Where's the lineup? So now that I'm out here, I could die out here 5 feet, 15 feet from Tinkertown or from Tiny Town walls. No one is to say. Now, there's a scam.
And it's happened. It's happened.
Yes.
Right.
So it's all. But you don't see any drugs or liquor or any of those things. Like you yourself and your own, you know, your own observation.
Yep, absolutely, man.
And so the thing is that, but we're out here, we can't even get in there, even drug-free.
No, absolutely. And you're obviously, I mean, people can hear it, and they're listening to the podcast. I mean, they can obviously hear that you're sober mind and,
sure,
you're well-spoken.
I have an undergraduate in psychology, but it's in child and family development, and I have a major in business.
There you go.
So I've actually, yes. So I've owned business in this community. I've retired, and I've been set back up here for family reasons. I came back to help family.
Right.
And now, because of the system, the way it is, I can't run fast enough to take my family, my responsibilities, and keep up with inflation. So I'm running. I'm taking my family members with me for, you know, trying to paint a picture. You're trying to keep them up with you. And these are hardworking, good, honest people that are getting caught in the system. And I'm doing the best that I can to move forward with them. But I can't keep up with inflation quick enough. And so now I sacrifice. For the ones I love, I will sacrifice. And I'm out here. And I'm not on any list. Because I don't know what list to get on.
Right.
And if you think that I can't approach someone and ask for a list, wrong. I can.
I can help you out with that direction, man. We could probably put you on BC Housing's list.
Sure.
I could probably put you in contact with a couple of good people.
Sure.
And now I can give you my number as well.
I know a lot of the people that I do outreach work with and for or help with.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I have contact with people that other outreach workers can't.
Right.
Now, because I have a criminal record that's 15 years old, I can't help them. Even though I have an undergraduate in this, I could be out here. I could be a voice.
Well,
I'm under a tree.
Brother, you know, I've got a peer run, peer led, peer initiated thing going called SOS right now.
Yes.
And we could definitely use your help if you want to get involved with that.
Absolutely.
Because we're advocating for ourselves.
Yes.
And we're the type of first person that we need on board.
Absolutely.
So let me I'll talk to Clay here and then get his point of view. And then, really nice to meet you, man. Thank you for your input. Right on, brother. I'll be back to talk to you for sure. Absolutely. Sure. Right on. So, Clay. Just right back to your situation, brother. I mean, here you are. How many times have they done this to you, man?
They kicked me out?
Yeah.
How are you doing? I've had maybe 4 or 5 times.
4 or 5 times. And you've been here for what? No, 6 months, 7 months?
I've been here over a year.
Over a year now?
Yeah.
So you've been reset back into homelessness and the mindset of survival 5 or 6 times, though?
Yeah. and like.
Have you been able to even recover a little bit from the prior trauma that you've experienced?
I was like, you know, moving forward, you know.
What does this do to your self-esteem every time they do this to you?
This tears you down. This is like negative. It's.
I mean, being out here is bad enough.
There's no positiveness that can come from this in any way.
Did you learn your lesson this time?
Learn my lesson for what?
Right.
For what? Yeah. Standing up for myself.
Exactly. Exactly.
My morals.
What were you
rights?
Kicked out for? What was the reason you were kicked out?
We were having a birthday party for Shane.
Right.
And I'd made $60 that day, and I spent $60 on liquor for the birthday party.
Sure.
And someone else was that wasn't really part of the
party.
Of the party, just like help themselves, like just you know,
being a pig.
Just invited themselves in there and just started like you know being a pig.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And so you said, "Hey."
I'm like, "Hey, what the fuck?" Yeah. And there was a verbal.
How's going?
Verbal.
You said, "Hey,
argument,
yeah,
like, yeah, yeah, like you know, you, what,
you,
whatever,
you back
you know,
off,
like,
you
know,
you drink all the booze."
Exactly, right.
And then what happened?
I was asked to take a walk, or like you know, to de-escalate the situation, and that was fine. And come back tomorrow. And
oh,
then,
so you got kicked out
for the day.
What happened
and
to
then
person?
I came. I came back and.
Did anything happen to the person who was stealing the booze?
What's that?
Did anything happen to the person who was stealing the booze?
I didn't know. I thought it was for everybody. You know.
Okay.
No, it wasn't really for everybody. It was for like a group of four people.
Did you threaten them or anything like that? Did you say I'm going to kick your ass if you keep bringing this or what?
No.
Tempers start flaring because now people are insulting one another.
Yeah, this and that. And so, anyways, I come back next day. And I'm handed a 1 week suspension of services.
For
you know, engaging in this, you know, like, you know, like, you know.
And so
I was like, fine, okay, fine, fine. I'll play by the rules, okay?
Yeah.
I'll do my week, right?
Right.
And I do my week. And then at the end of the week, I find out that, we're terminating your residency here at the end of the week.
So you're not kicked out permanently, are you?
Yes, I'm kicked out permanently.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit, that's bullshit, man. So, fuck, sake. I don't know. So, is there any kind of, appeal?
Recourse?
Appeal, yeah.
Only recourse that can happen is talk to Sarah, and that's their the parrot routine. You know.
Do you know
like,
anybody that's willing to advocate you from North Park, or is Frank willing to help you out on this?
Yes, Frank is behind me on this.
So is that SOS is behind you?
Yeah.
And just let you know that we'll talk to Sarah too, and we'll also talk to other people. That hopefully maybe could advocate for you to get back in there because you're a positive role model around here to play.
I've put a lot into Tiny Town, you know, volunteering my time, regardless of.
How in danger of? I mean, you've been using for how long?
I'd say, you know,
almost all your life.
10 years.
10 years. Okay.
15 years. Yeah.
15 years. Okay. No, and also too, you be homeless and everything like that. You're homeless for how long before this?
6 years.
6 years. So you're talking about.
And that was by choice. I was out on the street for 6 years because.
You're a carpenter.
Yeah.
You're a journeyman carpenter.
Yes.
So you whatever. You got caught up. You got caught up in life.
No. It was becoming detrimental to my health. Like, you know,
being
being carpenter and stuff like that.
It
like,
does,
it was,
yeah.
you know, it's County. Hard work and stuff like that. And, you know, screwed up back and stuff like that. And, you know, it's having a more negative impact than what it's worth.
Were you diagnosed with painkillers and then
that's yes.
when it started? Oh, yep. There you go. And, this happens to so many people.
So I went to the doctor there and, you know, and says, what are my options here? And he said, I advise you to seek, like, maybe check out a different trade, because you're at the end of this. By the time you're retired, your mobility is going to be like minimal to none.
Well, you're taking painkillers to be able to move.
Yeah.
So then there's you know, how many people have got the same story where how many people have got family that has the same story that
time know, and time again you hear the same thing, you know, like
it's the doctors who should be, you know,
like you know, pop a pill, pop
dealing
a
with
pill,
this situation out of their
pill,
own pockets.
You know,
they should be paying for the mess they created.
And
you know, anyways, so this is the result of all that.
Yeah,
is where we're at right this immediate second. So
yeah,
all right, Clay. Well, I want to let you know that, you know, obviously we're going to keep this. You, people posted on this story and let people know how you're doing, and say we're watching you close. And then we're also be advocating for you, bro. As much as I can, I'll be on the horn tomorrow morning, or on Monday morning for sure.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Jay.
No problem.
You know, it's you know, I never in a million years dreamed that it would ever come down to something like this.
So that's you know what, thank you for that interview, getting that shade. That was kind of, it really hits the nail right on the head. You can't look at the position that just one person is in, and this is not happening to just one person, and we're saying, oh, you can't do that to that one person. This is happening to a plethora.
You know, this is
a multitude.
And in each hotel, there's a multitude of these stories. Absolutely,
yes.
And people are mad at the homeless and mad at the people who are getting, you know, recycled through the system. And it's not that. You should be mad at the system that's not working, and the system that's failing us, and the system that's inefficient, and actually is just really a big money pit. Not the people who are actually on the street suffering. And I know people like to throw the criminal aspect and say, oh, this and that. But look, if you look at a place like Tiny Town. You know, the individual there, he mentioned there's no crime actually around Tiny Town. It's a safe area. There's been nothing going on. And I mean, I don't mean to just harp around Tiny Town. There's really, the crime is down overall compared to how it used to be, I think.
I think so too. And I the reason that the crime is down in North Park is because the neighborhood association, the street community understands that they were accepting. They accepted us into Central Park.
Absolutely.
Unlike Beacon Hill.
And still do.
Yeah, and they still do. And they still support. They still say hi. You know, the Neighborhood Association are absolutely wonderful and should be looked at as leaders in how they communicate with the right people.
And absolutely.
Their crime rate went down. If you ping the Victoria Police website, you'd be able to see where the crime rates, where the police were called out to. And the that went all down.
It's not around Tiny Town.
Since Tiny Town,
and if it is around Tiny Town, if there's any calls to Tiny Town, it's to Tiny Town itself about inner squabbles.
It's not about the
neighborhoods.
No, but not the neighborly.
Are people breaking in around the neighborhood or anything like that? It's been absolutely completely. You can hear pin drop as far as calls are on
you
that
can.
One.
You actually can. If you go there at 10 o'clock, I've been outside Tiny Town at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And it is.
So what's to say that it's, you know, that we, those people, everybody who's been kicked out of Tiny Town wants back into it. So, I mean, housing works in the sense of like, you know, so a person wanting it. I mean, this is people who said before that they didn't even want it.
So where
and now
we
you're
going
kicking
wrong?
Them out again.
Yes, where are we going wrong? I've got my two cents, but
but now they want
thought?
It back, and you're taking it away from them.
Yeah,
and they're walking around on the street, being isolated, and was sent out again, back into another system of rejection, of brutal like loss of self-esteem.
Absolutely.
Brutal loss of self-worth, how long does a person fight for, before they say, you know what? I'm going to self-medicate. I'm going to do whatever I have to do.
Give up. go to addiction to numb that pain, numb that hurt. Yeah.
You know, and this is we're recycling people with trauma into trauma again as a punishment. For the trauma that they're experiencing, the trauma that they've gone through, and we're not even helping them with the trauma that they're going through in the first place. So, I mean, how can we punish people into eviction when we're supposed to be learning the laws and systems of housing? You can't even have, and you don't have any process.
And pardon me, all while going through a COVID or COVIDious
just coming out of it
pandemic.
No,
but you, there was no, there was a no,
or if
eviction
we are
order. Order.
Right, right.
And they were evicting people. And they're evicting them with no trial, no, you know, no fairness, no... you don't get heard as a person being kicked out. You don't have to... You don't have your say in, here's my side of the story.
Right. No, you don't. Not at all. No, no, but we heard, we played his interview there, that he didn't even get a chance to explain himself. There was insults flying. People were, you know, all sorts of F-bombs, and people fly. Things are being said. People are taking, you know, things that people have worked for in that day. You heard Clay say, "Hey, I earned $60 that day, and you know, I went and bought some booze for my buddy." I mean, that's you know, you go canning for whatever for $60. That's a lot of cans, and that's a lot of work.
A lot of work. So, and you know what? That's people who are shunning those people. These people are saving the world, saving Mother Earth.
Well, okay, not just
because
that.
People are throwing out this stuff.
It keeps the city going, man. I mean,
yes.
Like there's all sorts of. I was thinking about that today. You know, there's all sorts of people from the street community that are out there doing positive things right now, and it's time that you start talking about that also as well, as rather than just talking about, you know, people and the NIMBY hate that we hear about people, because there's a lot of positive going on. There's people out there cleaning up the parks right now.
Yes,
I guarantee it. There's people out there collecting cans. There's people out there collecting garbage.
Ask Fernwood, it's a good neighborhood association.
Yeah.
If anyone's cleaning up. You know what I mean?
There's a lot of positive in the homeless community. As we just heard from the one fellow that was interviewed with Clay there, he's got a child's a degree in psychology, child development or whatever. So,
yeah, it is.
I mean, these
yeah,
are smart people.
Yeah.
We're throwing away our best. Scotty, Housecat, our brother Housecat, he's got a master's in psychology. I mean, we're wasting some of our best here, and people don't understand. They also don't get that it's not a people who want to be there, or that people are throwing their lives away, that they want to become addicts. There's no other alternatives. There's nothing better. There's nothing else offered. I mean, it's just basically a stay at your stagnant self, and just keep continuing feeding that monster. We'll house the monster, but we won't try and deal with it or treat the monster. We'll try and you know, deal with people's problems. We're going to just try and house people's problems and hope that the thing gets better by itself.
Now, the word is...
If you ask... Sorry, Claude. No, let me finish here.
Yeah, sorry.
If you ask anybody that lives in one of these hotels, if they didn't want help with their addictions or with their problems, or at least trying to regulate it or maintain it, or to get better things in their life, not one of them would say no, I guarantee it. But there is no way out in any of these places that is offered. There's no any kind of skill providing, any kind of building platforms or anything.
But these,
to start
these,
with.
These are
no
mandated.
Schooling, nothing. There's no treatment options.
They're mandated to offer this. They are, if they want us to follow people under a program, they have to follow a certain kind of model that BC Housing has, you know, kind of set out, or the government has set out for them. And none of them that I have seen or heard are filling this model. So to call somebody and say they're a part of a program when you are not adjusted, your business is not adjusted to be a program in itself. They're not fitting it.
Our rent, from the ministry, is not designed to pay for a program.
No.
If I went to, if I said to the ministry, listen, I've got a new program that I want to join up to and pay rent to. I want to switch my program from this program to that program. I don't want to go for you to pay for my college education and my dormitory fees where I'm going to be staying while I go to college. Then What did you call? Anyways, you know, if you're not going to be, if you ask them to pay for your college program, they're not going to pay for that. But that's a self-betterment.
Yes,
you're actually trying to do something.
Yes.
This program doesn't even tell you what you're trying to do, and they're paying for it anyways, and they're not calling it rent.
Yes.
And it's okay with the ministry to that, and also the RTA. With, you know, people, no, this is the thing.
Yes.
The support of people, the people in supportive housing are under the RTA, and they try and trick you out of believing that you're not. What is up with that?
Yes. Kicking somebody out with no notice, okay, to play to pack, you have time to pack a duffel bag and go. Or, you know what, you're a street guy, they're going to call the cops. They're gonna come down. They're gonna muscle you out of here.
Yeah, and that's what they want
to
think.
Or arrest you to get you out of there, and then your stuff is toast. You know that. I know that. You know what I mean. You don't get your stuff back. Yeah. You don't get your. You don't get a chance to get your belongings. You don't take inventory of what you have. You have. You are moved. You know, if not,
you get
by
nothing
force,
back. They throw your shit out.
Yes.
The Kool-Aid, they have a... if you go into the underground parking around the Kool-Aid...
Yes.
You'll see a big cage there.
It's locked up garbage.
Usually it's locked up stuff, mattresses...
Absolutely.
Fridges, cabinets, whatever you want. It's a complete furniture warehouse down there. They should be having a garage sale is what they should be doing. But anyways, who knows? Whatever. Anyways, if they did, they'd have... see, that's another thing, too. What happened to thrift stores and stuff like that where, you know, they used to, they don't even have to sell this stuff or they just throw it in the trash. I mean, these are charities.
Do you know what? Exactly.
Okay, but they're also the ones creating this massive furniture wasteland. You know what I mean? And nobody's getting any recourse. You're out. Half an hour, you got to pack your shit, that's it. We'll pack your shit for you.
Yeah.
And that's where it'll be, and you can, they won't even let you into the cage to go retrieve your shit after they put it in the cage.
Yeah.
So, sorry about your luck. I got back maybe a third of my things after I was evacuated for a fire and then evicted before I even got a chance to come back in. I didn't even do it. I was gone, and they evicted me. Because
you were gone and they evicted you.
Yeah. Well,
yes.
They evacuated me. Yeah. The evacuator told me 4 days, you have to come back in 4 days. I came back in 4 days. They said you're evicted.
Absolutely. You know what? There's, and... What
2 days after
this, what
went
recourse
to
did you have to say, hey, you know what? In all fairness, we live in Canada. There's three sides of the story: their side, my side, the outside.
We
right?
haven't yet
and
gone
you,
to arbitration with the RTA, but now the Kool-Aid situation is when they did that, they had just become supportive housing. RTA just stood in supportive housing, and that was made official. The Kool-Aid building was made supportive housing. They didn't want me to realize I had rights, so they kicked me out before I could use them. And that's exactly what happened. That's Kool-Aid.
So, basically, in a nutshell, and all of them are still getting funded. They're still getting donations, right, from the community, but they're the ones that are taking the donations that the people, let's call it the most vulnerable people, need. Okay, clothing, shoes.
All sorts of
dietary stuff.
Tents, blankets,
it
sauce.
Doesn't matter. Anything you've donated, you can probably see in the garbage. So thanks for the donations. Let's go to the environmental waste area and get our stuff. No.
This is the thing. I've heard so many people tell me that, you know what, my grandma or my you know, my mom and my dad, they want to donate.
Yeah.
You know, they want to donate to the cause, but they see all this stuff that it's donated, all trashed, and it's all over the place, and it's sometimes it's really nice stuff, and they just don't want to give, you know, away the nice stuff to just see it get trashed again. And I mean, I understand that, but I completely understand that. And the thing is this, we look at bylaw, and the way, I'm not just blaming everything on bylaw, but the way that people are forced to retreat and to be displaced every day and not have a place to put anything and just basically have a blanket to wrap themselves up that they were being given that day, they can wrap themselves up in one night. What are they supposed to do with it? Pack them on the back all day long? You know, in summer heat or whatever, or in winter rain? You know, people, it's just, it becomes too much. You cannot carry with you anything that is going to retain any of its value for very long. when you're reduced to live by 7-to-7 standard.
And then, but then you know, you reduce that, but you know what they do is they let you out of shelters at 6 o'clock in the morning. You know what? They open up
everybody
our
up.
Place at 7 o'clock.
Mats, yep.
So what do you
spray
do for
mats.
That hour? Wait, you can't do anything. You have to carry your stuff around and do what with it?
And then you walk around in the super circle of stupidity, really.
Yes.
And you know exactly.
There's waiting for it to open, and then what about the people who can't get in to a place like our place? Are the people that donate to our place? Are the major donors? If their family, the Dodds, the money that they donate. Do they know that people who are extremely vulnerable? That I'm calling out our place is that they bar you from eating. They don't let you eat. They don't. You know what I mean? They won't allow you clothing. Mm-hmm. They don't allow you to the resources, the haircuts, or the foot care, which so many people do need. They don't allow you to any of those resources. Do the donors know that people are shut out from there?
Yeah.
Even the women, the seniors.
What about the
$50,000
person cups? What about the $50,000 person cups that Don Evans was paying for?
Every single year, for 7 years he was in there,
yep.
He was because how many person cups get stolen, broken?
How many?
Go for a walk. Maybe.
How many?
Yeah.
Many?
Or left or thrown in the garbage. And every year they're signing a check for, and you know, not putting, property of our place, at least getting the free marketing.
Right.
They're not putting, you know, or giving a plastic kind of sturdy, steadfast, let's call
travel
it
mug. Travel mug, whatever.
You know,
yeah.
Something that people aren't going to really want to take. They're plastic, they're not really a coffee cup, but.
So $50,000 a year. On person cups. So then there's,
at
what
least.
About the stationery? Now, if you look at the Kool-Aid's 2022 financial statement, there's a lot of forgiveness in there, and a stationery bill is like 50 grand, 100 grand in office stationery. And so we're talking $150 million, $150 million in 5 years with Kool-Aid, 5 years with our place has cost $50 million, and what's the result? The result is basically not even a dent put in the problem. So let's talk about peer support, which we always are constantly hammering on.
Well, you know what, and why we constantly hammer on it is because of our age and our lived experience, eh?
Yeah.
We have a PhD on the street, and
we want to
looking at the way these facilities
we want to do it right.
Don't help, don't initiate. And how am I to listen to a 24-year-old about, you know, kind of what I'm going through right now? How is that outreach going to help me in any capacity when they don't have that lived experience, right?
Absolutely.
So they don't do it because they get intimidated.
Yep.
Right?
And I think, too,
it's a vicious circle.
With people who want to help and people who actually are dedicated to seeing people do better for themselves and will push people to the limits. Now you need like social workers who are actually involved in the persons that they're social working. You know, if this person needs to, I'm not saying like be driven or anything like that. But if a person has potential, give them the funding. And give them the support they need to earn that potential and to get that potential. You know, don't make them force them to go get a shitty job that they don't want to get. But, you know, flipping burgers like a probation officer or something like that, or a parole officer. Forgive my probation officer's probably not. I hope she doesn't listen to this one. But anyways, because she got to back off on the weekly meetings anyways too. But it's another story.
Yeah. So in kind of just jumping to where we were. You know, the donors, the people who are donating all these funds, all these clothes, do they know where their stuff is going, or do they think that they're just doing the right thing and happy with giving? You know,
I think that people are fed up with all the generosity that they've shown. But you know, at the same time, this city is an amazing city. Like, I mean, as far as the people, the undercurrent of people who aren't the NIMBY, third, the majority of people in this town really don't like homelessness. They don't want to see homelessness. They want better in their community. They want to be living in a happier community, a more, you know, flourishing community, a more prosperous community, and they don't have, nobody wants to see this shit. So, like, unfortunately, it's the fault of our leadership at this point. You know, it really is, Colin. There's so many failings that they don't even understand from the ground level almost up. But from the ground level, they get it.
Yeah.
I think up from there, they need some peer support up there, too.
We've always said it, is that not only do the people on the street need the peer support, but the people working in that environment in poverty, they need some support from people on the street. They need knowledge. And that's not saying, hey, what's happening on the street knowledge. That's how would a situation like this be handled with no name. You know what I mean? So you're not dry ratting. But you know what I mean? They're asking us, how would you handle this? Right? Because we're people on the street and we know how to deal with the people, you know?
Yep.
And that's the biggest thing is, you know, they're having the right person or wrong person doing the right job.
Right now,
so they're going to get the answer.
Well, it's an clearly inefficient yep. system right now. And how about some peer support? People who care up in the positions of organization and operations. So maybe that there's going to be a little bit of extra oomph to get the job done. I mean, that's just one thing that peer support offers.
You know, when you look at Ron from our place, how great he was with the people. He kept a good, stern kind of law and order about him, but, you know, had that respect because he did so much for the people.
If a guy needed a punch, he'd look the other way.
You know what?
Sometimes it's needed. In an atmosphere that's you have to understand that these places are sometimes worse than jails. You know, and it's
absolutely.
So you never. And
you have mental illness. You have addiction. Right. You have basically generally hurt people. People who are coming in pissed off from bylaw or the cops bugging him that morning.
Absolutely, every day, all day long.
And you're coming into that environment of poverty. Now,
every time you line up for a meal, the cops are sitting there profiling you. You know, every time, up and down the alley.
Yeah, and it's kudos to the Vancouver cops who said we're not going to do it. Not part of our job.
Good for them.
This is BC Housing.
604 Network. Absolutely, good job, guys. Good job. All right. Well, let's go to Flowers and Fish Heads, bud.
You want okay? You want to get that quickly? Perfect. Okay. Who's your Flowers and Fish Head?
My flowers are going to go to the North Park Neighborhood Association. I think they're doing a fantastic job. Still, I was walking through the neighborhood today. Actually, I live in the neighborhood, so. But I think that they're still doing a great job in trying to build community spirit and build amongst everybody who's in the community. So. Good job to NPNA and good job to North Park, absolutely.
The community around it.
Aces, yeah. So, and I guess my fish heads are going to go to Bylaw.
Come on, hey? Yeah, no.
Sorry, I challenge you back.
No.
It's a trigger, right?
I haven't even gotten started with those boneheads, but go ahead. What's with Bylaw?
This the sweeps on Pandora lately, and just making the problem, creating a worse problem that exists. You know, there's no place for anybody to go, and so to try and corral people to go to a place where there's no place to freaking go. What do you want them to do? I mean, seriously, this has got to be better money thrown at a solution. This is. What they're paying Bylaw and all these Bylaw, Keystone cops to do is could be easily, you could house all these people with subsidies, and if there's availability and affordability, that would be amazing. And that's what we need is that's an adequacy, right? We need to fish heads definitely to Bylaw.
Flowers. Funny enough that you said kind of North Park Neighborhood Association, because they're kind of top on my list to do that. But now you've given them, I don't want to give them an abundance of flowers. I'm going to give my flower to actually to one person of North Park Neighborhood Association, Allison, treasurer of the, I believe, of the Neighborhood Association. And just in dealing with her, in a big shout out to Jeepa, Will Williams, who's had a triple bypass. You know, Allison's helped them out before, get into the place with Sarah and Katie and all the girls there. You know, she's really taken on a kind of a role that she didn't really expect, you know, and doing a lot for a friend of ours, right? And he's housed and whatnot, nothing. He's been in the same place for 16 years. But just from what I've seen, she gets a ton of flowers from me, from us.
Absolutely,
Because of the work that she's doing. So not so much the Neighborhood Association as it would be to Allison.
Excellent.
So hats off to you.
Yeah, I know, I just want to say really quick to reinforce that, Colin. I've heard so much good things about Allison, so many amazing things. Keep doing your work, Allison. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting you yet, but eventually down the road, hopefully. And I just want to say hats off for sure.
My fish heads are definitely going to go to the bone heads at Bylaw. You wait for the comeback. They've got a kind of a restriction on me that they were able to throw in. You know, being an extension of the law, you know.
Bylaw.
Stay tuned for the new shirts that are coming out. That a police officer has already inquired where to buy them.
Fuck
and
that.
Pardon me, Shay. Yeah, I say, you know what? I'll add 25 cents to the swear jar. What does my shirt say right now?
Fuck Bylaw.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Bylaw, we're back. Wait for it.
We're out.
Wait for it. Okay.
We're out.
Out.